Good evening, everyone. If you would get your Bibles and turn to Psalm 142. Psalm 142 will be the basis for our study this evening, as we've been doing for a while. Second Sunday evening of the month, looking at a psalm or a portion of the psalm. We're going to continue with that this evening. And in this psalm, we see the words of a troubled man who is crying out for help to God. In his need for relief, he has cried out to those around him, but has received no help, nor has any of them offered. He's not even been acknowledged by some. He says in verse 4, "Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." Can you imagine the position of someone who is saying this? Very lonely and desperate situation where he finds himself. He cannot get others to even acknowledge him or care about his situation. And as we consider tonight the cry of this troubled soul, we also have to think then, as we do with every passage of the Bible, how does this apply to me today? Well, I think the way we apply this today is we consider the cry of troubled souls today. Those with honest hearts who have seen their sin, they've seen their condition, who have recognized their great need for help. Their desire is not for widespread recognition and fame. It's just they want to be seen. They want to be acknowledged that they exist. For somebody to care. And the question we need to ask ourselves tonight, which will be the title of tonight's lesson, will we hear the cry? Are we listening to those around us? Will we acknowledge the lost and troubled soul who is crying out for recognition of their condition and for help in overcoming sin? Tonight I want us to look at Psalm 142 and consider the needs of this troubled soul and then see who, if anyone, will care enough to hear the cry of the troubled soul today. Let's read beginning verse 1 and then let's go back and let's ask some questions, or let's ask that question and try to answer it. "I cry out to the Lord with my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before Him, I declare before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then You knew my path and the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me, no one cares for my soul. I cried out to You, O Lord, I said, You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Your name. The righteous shall surround me, for You shall deal bountifully with me." So again, if we are looking at one who is crying out to the Lord for help in a very low condition, we have to think about the world around us today and ask ourselves, are we going to hear the cry of those around us? When those who are troubled spiritually, recognizing that they are in need, who's going to listen to them? Is it going to be the world? Well, the world is probably not going to listen, because when it comes to spiritual matters, the world really doesn't care about that. Those who are focused on the world don't really see a need for that, because they don't believe they have a need for God. About 90 years ago in the 1933 World's Fair, if you would have looked in the futuristic city, in fact it was called the City of the Future, what was conspicuously missing 90 years ago almost was the presence of churches. In the mind of those who were looking forward in the future, back in 1933 no less, they just simply saw no need for churches. They believed all the world's problems and ills would be solved by their human wisdom and their superior intellect. And God wasn't in the picture, because in their minds they didn't need Him. If you've ever watched any science fiction shows, usually all set in the future somewhere, have you ever noticed that in none of those is there any religious activity whatsoever? You ever wonder why? Star Trek, the old TV series, the creator, Gene Roddenberry, was a humanist. which I found strange when I was older, and I found that out because he even incorporated some Christianity in some of the old Star Trek shows. But he didn't believe it. He's a humanist, was a humanist. I think he's a believer in God now. But he saw the solution to all problems, not in God and His Word, but in the philosophies and the plans and ideas of man. And religion to the world is only a source of division and exclusion and trouble, where it leaves some out and allows others in, and they see that as unfair. And to the world, unity can only be achieved if God is eliminated. My favorite song to dislike, which a lot of people seem to love, is the song by John Lennon, Imagine. You ever listen to the words of that? It's really talking about imagine where there's no religion. In fact, it says it very plainly. No God, no hell or heaven. And in the song, it's saying, oh, how wonderful things would be. I think not. So is the world going to care when we're in trouble? Not really. To the world, you're just a number. I know you get this in the mail every once in a while. You get a piece of mail that said occupant or resident. That's all you are to a lot of people. A potential customer, a stepping stone for them to get where they want to go. They don't really care about your spiritual condition. You're only important when the world thinks they can make a profit off of you. And if that profitability possibility disappears, then you are tossed aside and they'll move on to the next customer or potential customer. If you're in need, the only ones who are going to stop to help are those who believe that they're going to somehow benefit from this. And in the end, you're going to get stuck and they're going to move on to the next client. You see, the world really doesn't care because the world doesn't have an answer for our spiritual needs. To the troubled soul who has begun looking for the answer to sin and its consequences, what is the world going to offer? Why would a mud-covered man go to another mud-covered man to get cleaned up? It would be fruitless. Why would a sinful man go to another sinful man for the answer to sin? If man had the answer, we wouldn't be so full of sin today in this world. But man doesn't have the answer. So what could the world possibly provide or produce as an answer for sin and its consequences to the one who has recognized their true spiritual condition? The world has no answer. Man is incapable of lifting himself up or, for that matter, anyone else. The world is only going to pull you down further in all reality. Or they'll just simply ignore you and let you sink into the mire of sin without so much as an extended hand, because again, they have no answer to get you out of it. And when the troubled soul cries out for help, if the world hears, it will often turn then a deaf ear or simply refuse to acknowledge the cry, lest they admit too that they are also in trouble. The world doesn't sound like the place we need to turn to. Well, what about those who are religious? Notice I've got that in quotation marks. What about the religious ones? Are they the ones that we can go to? Well, sadly, some of them don't care either, and their motives are really only selfish. Unfortunately, many in the religious world today are religious, again in quotation marks, only in the sense that they go to some building on a Sunday and pretend that that's an important part of their life. You ever wonder where we get this phrase, Sunday morning Christian, from? That's exactly where it comes from. They believe that their religion is how often you show up at the building, and it's demonstrated by your attendance there, where he or she is recognized in a place where they feel at home and comfortable in their surroundings. They're only there because, number one, family. Their faith is really not their own, if they have any at all. It's inherited from their ancestors. It's what we've always done. And their faith is no more than superficial actions and defenses of what they've been fed all their lives instead of a conviction. They've never investigated in the Word of God themselves. And so when they hear somebody crying out for help, they have no idea what to do because they've never been shown in God's Word how they can help. Some are there only because of position. It may afford them a position or influence or just pure attention. And unfortunately, some who stand in pulpits are most guilty of this, standing in front of their brethren simply because they get to stand in front of the brethren and get noticed. Some, unfortunately, and it's sad to even say this, some do it only for money. People go to certain churches because it affords them an opportunity for financial or material gain. I've met them. They've told me plainly that they go to this church because they've got business connections. When they used all of them up, they moved to another congregation. I wish I was telling you stories, but I'm not. Some go for the entertainment. Not to hear the cry, or because they cry out as a troubled soul who's looking for spiritual help, they're going to be entertained to forget about the troubles. And unfortunately, there are many, many congregations in this country that do just that. Entertain so that people forget about their troubles rather than dealing with them. They go to validate what they already believe. They go to hear somebody tell them God loves them as they are in their sins and in their troubles, not to get out of them. Others may be just simply shirking responsibilities, even religious ones. And just as bad as pure selfishness is the habit of some who know their responsibility to reach out to those who are troubled, but have chosen to refuse their part and to shirk their responsibilities to reach out and help someone who's searching. And it's not that we don't know or have any idea about what we're supposed to do. We know, but we just don't care enough to fulfill our duties. And then again, there are some who are simply false disciples. They make the appearance of being followers of Jesus Christ, but they're not really. As we see in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, as Jesus chastises the scribes and the Pharisees, some of the religious leaders of the first century, they were doing what they did in word only. Notice in verse 3, he tells the people to listen to what they tell them and do it, but don't follow their example because they say and do not do. They will not so much, he says, lift a finger to do those things they tell everybody else to do. So their faith is in word only. Or they have mixed up priorities where they tithe, verse 23, at the mint, the anise, and the cumin, down to the smallest of things, but they neglect the weightier matters. And then, as he goes on to say in verse 24, their focus in all of that is on the material things rather than the important, the more important matters. They were hypocritical, and there are some that are going to be hypocritical who are religious today. As Jesus describes these, they're like the whitewashed tombs. Outwardly, they're beautiful, but inside, they're full of dead men's bones. They're hypocrites. Called them hypocrites 8 times in this chapter. Hopefully by the time you read the end of that chapter, you get the idea these people are hypocrites when Jesus calls them that 8 times. But then again, they are indifferent. Maybe that's why some religious ones don't reach out to those who are troubled and looking for spiritual help. Again, verse 4, they will not so much lift a finger to bear the burdens. Verse 14, they'll kick out the widow out of their home and then go pray to make it look like they are devoted to God. But they didn't really care. So if the world doesn't care, and even some religious don't care, who does care? The Lord cares. You know, we've got a song in our songbook, and I meant to look this up before I got up here. It's called Jesus Cares. Let me see if I can find this real quick. Maybe it's not in this book. It's 466 in the old book. But it asks the question during the song, does Jesus care when my heart is weighed down with troubles? And the chorus of the song over and over, we sing that, yes, he cares, I know he cares. And we know that because he gave his life for us. Notice in this psalm who the psalmist goes to. Verse 1, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. Though he was rejected and ignored by the world, this troubled soul cries out to the Lord because he knows the Lord will hear and answer. That's something that he knows will happen. And he lays out before the Lord his complaint and his trouble. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. Verse 2. Now the word translated as complaint here is simply a communication. In his desire for relief, he is communicating his trouble to the one that he knew could provide relief, the Lord. He considered the Lord in his trouble, his relief and his portion. Verse 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. He went to the Lord as his sole place of refuge in an uncaring and inattentive world. He went to the Lord because he could find in him comfort and understanding. He considered the Lord to be his inheritance, his portion, a valued item received from another, at least while he was here on this earth. And so, yes, for us today, we have to say that Jesus cares. We're told in the book of Hebrews, in the 7th chapter, and this is a book written to Jewish Christians in the 1st century who were thinking about turning their backs on the faith and going back to the old law in hopes of eliminating the persecutions they were facing because they had followed Christ. And all the way through the book, the writer is offering argument after argument to show the superiority of everything under the new covenant, especially Christ. And he reminds them in verse 25 of chapter 7 about what Jesus is for us. He said, therefore, he is also able to save to uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You ever wonder what Jesus is doing after he left this earth? I know sometimes we have this picture that Jesus is just sitting up on his throne and just looking at his watch waiting for the time for God to send him here to earth. He's not just sitting back doing nothing. As the Hebrew writer said here, he lives to make intercession for his people, you and me who are Christians. And so we can go to the Lord with the confidence of the psalmist to know that he will hear, for he lives to make intercession for us. We go to God through Jesus Christ in our prayers because he is our mediator. That's what he's there for. He's the intercessor. He's the one standing between us and God to speak on our behalf, our advocate. We have no reason to fear that he will not understand, that he will not intervene on our behalf, that he will not provide assistance when we are troubled. As his troubled children, we have him who intercedes and relieves. Again, he is our advocate. And pardon me for being behind here on the slides. In 1 John 2 and verse 1, we are told we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And an advocate is one who speaks on our behalf. And so should we suffer troubles because of our sins as his people, when we go to him as the promise has been made in 1 John 1:9 and confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But you know who's there speaking on our behalf? Jesus Christ. We have the Son of God, our Savior, ready to speak on our behalf every time we go to God in prayer as the one who has suffered the same temptations that we suffer. And because of that, the Hebrew writer goes on to say, We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore boldly approach the throne of grace so we may find grace and mercy and help in time of need. Because Christ is our mediator, because he is our advocate, because he is our intercessor, because he is our high priest, we can boldly approach the throne of God. We don't have to cower in fear when we fail God. We can go to him with full confidence that Christ is there to speak for us. Jesus cares. The title of this lesson was, Will We Hear the Cry? So now we have to ask ourselves the question, do we care? Will we hear the cry of the troubled soul? You know, the lost and troubled souls most likely do not know the Jesus of the Bible and the forgiveness that God has offered and provided through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and therefore cannot call on the name of the Lord that they might be saved. We need to tell them. We need to lead them to Jesus Christ. We need to care. As Paul said in Romans the 10th chapter, as he quoted an Old Testament passage that prophesied of the day when ever one calls on the name of the Lord, they would be saved. He went on to ask, how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear unless someone tell them? We need to do the telling. We need to do the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ. We need to rescue the perishing. Reach out to those who are lost. And so let's do that. Let's make a concerted effort to have our eyes and ears open to those around us. So when those who are in trouble spiritually cry out, we will be the ones who hear. And we can lead them to the one who will listen to them in their troubles. If you're here tonight and you have come to know that you are one of those troubled souls outside of Christ who has not yet obeyed the gospel, and you recognize the weight of your sin and the condemnation that it brings, then what will you do about it? The world will tell you just pray the sinner's prayer. The prayer is reserved for those who are already God's people. If you are not a Christian, what you need to do is submit to Jesus Christ in obedience. If you truly believe he is the Christ and the Son of God, then turn away from your current way of life, repenting of your sins, be willing to confess him from this day forward as the Christ and Son of God and your Savior, and we'll baptize you tonight. It is in that act of obedience that God's Word tells us, if you have faith in the working of God, he will join together with Christ and wash away your sins. God will do that work that you and I and any man cannot do. Maybe that you're here tonight, you've already obeyed the gospel at some point in the past, but you've not been walking faithfully with the Lord. Or if you're here tonight and you know there is sin in your life that needs forgiveness, take care of it tonight in whatever way you need to. Could be that you're here tonight, you just need the prayers of this congregation for help in some way. But whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?